Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, offering over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Israel continues to take out Iran's nuclear capability, but are they still capable? Will the U.S. get directly involved? Will Russia get directly involved? What about China? Is this Ezekiel 38 and 39? Is this World War III? Jesus said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." At least, not until we get done looking at the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, June 20th, 2025. Listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with a friend. You can read the articles we talk about. You can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section of thewaymedia.net, or just hop on over in your mobile phone to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, and you can pick up our app right there. And now, here to remind us that it doesn't matter how old you are, buying snacks for a road trip should always look like an unsupervised 9-year-old was just given $100, is Pastor Mark, who, when he was young, saw his boss drive up to work in a brand new Lamborghini and told him that was an amazing car. His boss told him, "Mark, if you work hard and strive for excellence, I'll get another one next year."
That's exactly right. No, that's both of those. I loved them both. That's good right there. But you made me laugh on the first one the most. I mean, that's what it is, man. A road trip. It's like all the candy you can get, candy bars, everything bad for it, and then you eat it and feel terrible afterwards.
Yes.
Unless you're a kid, and then you feel great about it.
Yes.
But when you're older, you realize, okay, I just made a huge mistake, and it's going to be.
That reminds me of I think it was the very first men's retreat that we had.
Yes.
And it comprised of you and I driving, before we got to the place, driving and stopping at Sam's Club. And you're just going through the freezer, just grabbing stuff to pile into the cart that we take. And so just kind of, when I saw that joke, I said, it just kind of reminded me of that. It's like, woo, whatever goes.
That's right. Back then, none of it went to waste. Today, it all goes to waste.
It all goes to the waste.
My waste and your waste and every
other. That's right. All right, before we get to our articles, you want to address some recent attacks against Israel. Now, these are not physical attacks. These are verbal attacks.
Yeah.
But these are attacks against Israel as not being, quote-unquote, biblical Israel. Please explain all
that. I want to take some time to really educate, to make sure we as a body of Christ understand some of these things that are happening, the accusations that are attacking against Israel, because these are conservatives doing this, Greg. They're conservative, very popular conservative personalities that are attacking the legitimacy of Israel, saying they're not biblical Israel, they're not the real Jews of the Bible. 1948, when they came back, had nothing to do with anything, and they're tearing down. And listen, if you don't know the word of God and you don't understand it, then you may believe them. And so they act like, well, you know, Israel's not real Israel because it wasn't a real nation. And they just came in and declared themselves a nation, which God said prophetically they would do. God said in one day they're going to become a nation. So they did exactly what God said they would do. But they're trying to say, well, they're not legitimate because they're not a nation with real boundaries and all this kind of stuff. But I want to talk about what makes a nation in God's eyes a nation, and then what is biblical Israel, and then what is spiritual Israel. And just to say, the church is not spiritual Israel. We do not believe in replacement theology, which is a theology that says that the church has now replaced Israel because of their rejection of the Messiah. Nonsense. The Bible doesn't say that. God's promises to Israel are unconditional and eternal. Note that, unconditional and eternal. It doesn't matter what they do. Because some of the attacks are, well, they're evil, they're wicked, they're demonic. Look, even if they're evil, wicked, and demonic, God's word will stand. His promises remain. If they killed every puppy in the world and they were so evil, you know, and go down the list of all your evil things they could do, God says, I'm still going to keep my word. My word will not change. Now, for those who do wicked things, be they Jew or Gentile, we will all be held accountable before God. It doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. And, you know, God says, don't worry about it because you're Jewish. You have no judgment. No. If you're a Jew and you sin and live in sin, you will be judged by God without the blood of Jesus Christ. But the point is, God's promise to them that he made to Abraham. And this goes back to Genesis 15. I want to start there and, again, talk about these topics and walk you through it because, again, the attacks against Israel, we shouldn't be supporting them. They're not biblical Israel. They're not the real. They're Jews. You talk about the Sephardic Jews and the Jews that are from, you know, Ashkenazi Jews. And so they're not real because they're Ashkenazi Jews out of Europe. So I want to give some definitions. I want to start, and don't let me forget to talk about the Sephardic and Ashkenazi, but I want to start with what is biblical Israel, and what is the nation of Israel? Okay, first of all, God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, he said, you know what, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And he made a covenant with Abraham. It was a common covenant they did in those days where they would cut animals in half, and the two people would walk between the animals, and it was a blood covenant, kind of gross, I get that, but that was their contract in that day. And because it was sealed in blood, they cut the animals in half, you would hold hands and kind of do a figure eight between the animals back and forth as you did that. And it represented, you keep your half, I'll keep my half. It's a covenant in blood that can't be broken. So that's what happened. So God told Abraham to cut the animals in half, to place them there. He did that. Then he puts Abraham to sleep. And it says that Abraham, in a vision from his sleep, sees God by himself walk between the parts. And so Abraham knew what it meant. God knew what it meant. Historians know what it means. It meant this. The covenant was just signed. It was sealed in blood. But you know what? It's an unconditional. There are conditional covenants where if you do this, then I'll do that. Or if we both walk through.
Both parties, yeah.
Unconditional means I'm walking through it alone, which means I keep both halves. Even if you totally blow it, if you turn demonic, if you turn evil, if you reject everything to do with God, I, as God, am still keeping my covenant. That's what he told Abraham. I don't care what your descendants do. Now, when I make that statement, let me qualify it. Of course, he cares about being evil and being sinful. We all understand that as Christians. Let's all fall on that same foundation. My point is, when it comes to this covenant, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you worship false gods, if you go demonic, if you drink blood, if you eat puppies. I don't care what you do. This covenant is everlasting. And it's unconditional. There is nothing evil you can do to stop it. There's nothing demonic you can do to stop it. There's nothing wrong you can do to stop it. Now, it's going to happen. I'm going to keep my promise to you as a people and a nation. But if you do something evil or demonic, I will hold you accountable and you'll be judged like anybody else that does something evil or demonic. So first of all, we have to recognize God said at that moment, I have made this covenant with you not to break it. He also told Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you and your descendants, the nation of Israel, which he sealed in that covenant. And you and my descendants are going to come through the line of Jacob, Ishmael, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God confirmed it by saying, Jacob, I'm renaming you Israel. And now the 12 tribes came from Jacob. So we know that it didn't go through Ishmael. It came through Isaac, down through Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. So the unconditional promise of God to Abraham was through Jacob, to the 12 tribes, and that is what is called Israel. Now, So understand this, the biblical definition of Israel, biblical Israel, for those who are challenging you, and you need to know this, listeners out there, you need to understand, people are going to challenge, well, they're not biblical Israel. All biblical Israel means, and to find biblical Israel, we have to use the Bible. Okay?
Yes.
And I'll briefly mention right now that another attack they're doing, they're trying to divert it, Greg, by using the Mishnah and the Talmud. Understand this, the Mishnah and the Talmud, Jewish writings, they are not the Bible. They have no play in this whatsoever. The Mishnah is the oral tradition that Jesus rebuked when he walked the earth. It came from back in Babylon. Mm-hmm. He rebuked them and he said, you've made the commandments of men make the commandments of God null and void because you're putting man's word over God's. He rebuked them for the Mishnah. Jesus hated the Mishnah himself. And then from the Mishnah came the Talmud, because they wrote what the Mishnah was saying in the Talmud, which is more of their commentaries and their interpretations. So then they try to say, well, the Talmud's evil, and the Talmud says the Jews do evil things. If anybody pulls this whole Mishnah-Talmud thing on you, Jesus rebuked them for the Mishnah and the Talmud. Now, were the Mishnah and the Talmud in print at the time of Jesus? No. It was oral tradition, spoken, and they took the oral tradition, they wrote down the Mishnah, and then from there, they further use the Talmud to describe the Mishnah. So see the key here. The point is, the Mishnah and the Talmud existed in spirit in the days of Jesus, but not on paper until the 3rd to the 6th centuries. So 200 to 500, you know, AD, all right? So, yes, it came after Jesus, but it was at the time of Jesus in oral law. So when Jesus rebuked them for following these other writings, he, in essence, was rebuking them for the Mishnah and the Talmud. So when somebody says, well, the Mishnah and the Talmud are evil, and you can't, the Jews can't be the biblical Jews because they have the Mishnah and the Talmud, it has nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing. Forget the Mishnah and the Talmud. It has nothing to do with God's promises. It would be like saying to us today as the church, Greg, well, the Mormon Bible says this, and the Watchtower says this. We don't care. The Mormon, that's not the Word of God. Watchtower is not the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Well, you Christians, and we don't follow the Mormon Bible and that, whatever. So the Talmud and the Mishnah, yeah, the unsaved Jews today follow those. But they have nothing to do with the true Word of God, which is the Word of God, which they call the Torah and the Tanakh. It has nothing to do with it, and it cannot and will not make null and void God's promises to Abraham and his descendants and the children of Israel. So, number one, who are the true biblical, based on the Bible, who is biblical Israel? Anyone that is a genetic line to Abraham. You can find that out by DNA testing. If you are genetically connected to Abraham, you are biblical Israel by God's definition. Okay, and we'll expound on that. But the point is, you have to realize, saved or unsaved, that just means this: the promise was made to everyone who is in the genetic line of Abraham. Now, we'll get to those. What about those that aren't saved? We'll get to that in a moment. But that's biblical Israel. So the very fact, if you just go by biblical Israel, the Jews back in the land today, Netanyahu, all the Jews, the 12 tribes, that is biblical Israel because they are DNA connected. They're genetic descendants of Abraham. So whether they're godly or ungodly, demonic or non-demonic, holy or non-holy, it doesn't matter. The point is, whatever they are biblical Israel because they are through the bloodline of Abraham. Now, again, there's going to be another category of spiritual. So hold on, listeners, and the salvation thing, we'll get to that in a moment. But that's what you've got to understand first, because they're attacking the whole mindset of they're not really biblical Israel. No, every Jew is. Every Jew, saved or unsaved, is biblical because they're a descendant of Abraham.
Now, is it a good time to talk about the Sephardi and Ashkenazi at this
point? Yes, okay, good point. Who are the Sephardi and Ashkenazi Jews? They're still biblical Israel. They are descendants of Abraham. Sephardic are those who stayed in Israel or the Middle East the whole time. They never left. Ashkenazi are those that when they were scattered to the far corners of the world, when God scattered all the Jews, they went all over Europe. Those are the Ashkenazi. All Ashkenazi means is they're Jews that weren't in the land. So it doesn't change their genetic DNA. I mean, when you do a DNA test, it links you back to wherever you come from. It doesn't matter what nation you move to. If you move here from Mexico and you have Mexican roots, yes, you can become an American citizen, but you still have the genetics to be a Mexican. You're genetically Mexican. You become an American citizen. So the Ashkenazi Jews are just Jews that link back to Abraham that came out of Europe. That's all. But because people don't know this, it confuses them. Sephardic Jews, they're the ones that were there in the Middle East, and they link back to Abraham. So Sephardic and Ashkenazi, they all come under the same umbrella. They're simply Jews who link back genetically to Abraham, and that means they are, and I'll put this in a biblical in definition now, they are biblical Israel. Again, not saying they're saved, not saying they're unsaved. I'm giving you the biblical Israel definition of all Jews. They're all biblical Israel. Now, so if they're all biblical Israel, well, what about those that don't get saved? Well, Paul addresses that in Romans, Romans 9, 6, when he's talking about, he later on says, is God done in Romans 11? Is God done with the Jews? No, he's not. But then he says in Romans 9, 6, he says, what about the Jews that are not following God? He says it is in verse 6, it's not that the word of God has not taken effect, for they are not all Israel that are of Israel. In other words, you have biblical Israel, which is any descendant of Abraham, just by genetics. Then you have spiritual Israel, those that get saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and those who will be saved in the last days, when God pours his spirit out on the 144,000 and all the other Jews that get saved. Those are spiritual Israel. So you have two categories. Biblical Israel, which includes every genetic Jew in the world, Sephardic, Ashkenazi, no matter what they come from, good, evil, demonic, holy, doesn't matter. They are biblical Israel. And that means in 1948, when they came back in the land, that's biblical Israel. Yes, it is. You cannot deny it. It is. Where they're trying to now make that, they're trying to parse this out and say, yeah, but they're not spiritual. They're not using these words. But they're not spiritual Israel. And even they might even claim that spiritual Israel is somehow the church. No, the spiritual Israel are the saved Jews. Do we expect there to be saved Jews yet? Only a remnant, but not mostly, because God said he's going to blind them until the very end. After he brings them back in the land, we see that in Ezekiel 37, the dry bones come together, skin comes on the bones. There's biblical Israel revived back in the land, but he doesn't breathe life into them until later. Then he breathes life. Now the Holy Spirit coming upon those who receive Christ. Now you have spiritual Israel. So, but they're all Jews. So you have biblical Israel, everybody, spiritual Israel, those that give their life to Christ, and now they're saved and they're in the Lord. So don't be stumbled by that, and don't be stumbled by the whole Talmud and Mishnah arguments. That's not the word of God. It has nothing to do with the conversation. One of the things that made me so mad in one of these interviews I saw, they were attacking Ted Cruz saying, well, you're no theologian. I thought, well, you're not either. You're a newscaster. You know, what are you talking about? You need to let a theologian get on there, somebody who knows the word of God. And there's something else I want to address on this too, because they also say, well, yeah, but they can't be a nation anymore because they don't really have a real any boundaries. They just came in and claimed themselves a nation. They set up their own boundaries. Their boundaries were set up by, you know, the world after World War II and everybody coming together and all this kind of stuff. This is interesting to me. God called Jacob Israel. He was a person. He wasn't a nation. He didn't have boundaries. He said, you are now Israel. I've renamed you. You're Israel. And from you, Israel will come. And so he had the 12 tribes of Israel. And yes, off and on, Greg, they've had a homeland. Off and on, they've had boundaries. But even when they don't have a homeland, even when they don't have boundaries, even when they didn't have any official government leadership, guess what God called them?
Jews.
Israel. Well,
yeah,
Jews,
Israel.
But
yeah.
Israel.
Yeah.
Even when they were in he said a nation came out of Egypt. They weren't a nation yet, but they were a nation. They were a nation to God just because they didn't have their land yet. They didn't have boundaries yet. But they were still a nation. It's interesting. I want people to understand they're Israel, regardless of whether or not they declare themselves that, or whether or not they have a land, or whether or not they even have a prime minister or a king or any kind of leadership. They are Israel, pronounced by God, just because he said you are. And then one day in the millennial kingdom, they'll have all their land and they'll have everything they're supposed to have. But listen to what Jesus said, speaking to the centurion. First of all, note this. In Jesus' day, there was no Israel. A lot of people don't realize that. There was no nation of Israel in Jesus' day. It was Rome. Israel didn't have a prime minister. Israel didn't have a king. The closest they had to leadership was the Sanhedrin. And that was their religious leaders. That was their pastors. But they didn't have a governmental structure. There was no, like what God had set up with David and all the line of David and all that. So Rome ruled over them. Rome allowed them to have their religion. Rome allowed them to live there. But they came under Pilate. They came under the governor of the region. And Greg, they themselves said, we have no king but Caesar.
Yeah.
So there was no Israel in the days of Jesus as far as an official country. If you'd have had all the nations recognized on a map and had a UN in the days of Jesus, there would have been no Israel at the UN. There would have been no Israel on the map. They didn't exist as a nation. And yet, listen to what Jesus said about them. The centurion who sent messengers to Jesus because his servant was sick and dying.
Yeah.
He said, Lord, you don't have to come to say the word. What did Jesus say? I have not seen such faith in all
Israel.
Israel, which shows God says the nation of Israel is not a place. Mm. It's not a boundary. It's a people group, and they're eternal, whether they have their own land or not, whether they have leadership or not, they are Israel. It just is. And they're because the promise God made to Abraham and then the carry when it came down through Jacob and Isaac, Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. So here's the thing why I'm so fired up today. For those who try to say Israel just declared themselves a nation, so they're not legitimate. They didn't have to declare anything. Jesus already said they were Israel, whether they declared anything, whether they had a homeland, whether they had a leader, whether they had a prime, it didn't matter. You're already Israel. They were Israel for 2,000 years before they made that declaration. They were still Israel because it's a people. It's not a land. It's not a boundary. Secondly, when people say, well, they're not biblical Israel, all biblical Israel is, guys, to go to the Bible and those who claim to know what they're talking about and they're saying they're fussing at people for not being theologians when they aren't. Biblical Israel just means anybody that has DNA that links back to Abraham. There's biblical Israel. Saved, unsaved, righteous, unrighteous. Doesn't matter their history. Doesn't matter what the Rothschilds did or didn't do. None of that matters. They're still biblical Israel, which means when they came back and they were established in the land that God said he would do in the last days, they were already Israel before they did that. Now they're simply Israel and declared it, and they're there in the land, and God allowed them to do that. Spiritual Israel, again, they're those that are now saved after they give their life to Christ and they come to the Lord, and God is going to keep his promises. Again, like we said, in the last days, God is going to pour out his spirit on them. There's going to be a great revival. Look, of course they don't know God right now. Of course they rejected the Messiah. The Bible told us they would do that. But God's going to restore them and bring them back. And if you don't understand these facts, then you may be stumbled even by some of these conservative pundits that are out there that are spewing this false information, and they don't know what they're talking about. And the most hypocritical thing to me is they're accusing others of not knowing what they're talking about when they don't know. And they're accusing Israel being demonic when really, honestly, I think the demonic realm is affecting them because they're attacking Israel. And I'll say one last thing, and then we can move on into what we're going to do as far as the stuff today. Listen, God says, I'll bless those who bless Israel. And we talked about it. That is the descendants of Abraham. Whether you like them as a nation or not, doesn't matter. He said, I'll curse those who curse them. So when you see these people making this big stand against Israel, I want you to be watching for something else. You watch, they're going to be cursed. Mark my word. God's word doesn't fall void. How long God will give them grace, I don't know. How long God will hold off, I don't know. But they will be cursed.
All right, let's head to some Ezekiel 38 and 39 articles. Our first one comes from Newsweek, dated June 13th. It's very interesting. This is dated June 13th. The title of the article is Russia Responds to Israel's Strikes on Iran, Full-Scale War Possible. And then this article from Newsweek was actually updated yesterday, and the wording was changed to Russia warns Israel.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, the ally Russian President Vladimir Putin said the full-scale war in the Middle East is possible after these airstrikes. Israel's actions, he said, cannot be justified from a legal, political, or military or moral point, which is a lie. The only hope, albeit illusionary, of avoiding full-scale war is a consolidated condemnation of this operation by the international community, according to Russia's official TASS news agency. And they say, we can and must hope for another demonstration of restraint from Iran. Oh my goodness, I thought my head was going to blow off. Listen to this. One must always hope for the best, but naturally there are limits to Iran's patience. Okay, hold on. I've got exclamation marks and everything. Listen, Iran's patience? Iran has been attacking Israel, doing their best to destroy them, kill their wives, kill their children, kill their families, annihilate them, push them into the ocean. And now Israel defends themselves from October 7th, and this foolish leader here declares that somehow Iran is showing patience and restraint by this wrongful attack. This is a proper attack by Israel. It is good that it's happening. They need to neutralize them. These guys are crazy. The Kremlin said earlier, Russia is concerned about developments and condemns this sharp escalation. Well, once again, I just, you know, it's amazing to me, Greg, you know, the scripture that pops in my mind, I didn't put it here because these are all Ezekiel 38 and 39 verses, but it's going to come up later, and that is where it talks about in Isaiah, you know, where he says, woe to them who trade good for evil, and the 520, you know, who yes. trade evil for good and good for evil. I understand they're blind.
Yes.
But my goodness, I see these people marching for Iran, which we'll get to in the streets. I mean, I have no words. We'll get to it as we get there. But this is the craziest thing. It's total blindness.
Well, that's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is calmly helping us understand yes. the signs of the times, our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast number 368, which is like taking a bunker buster to the nuclear arsenal of fake news. And now, let's get some listener questions. God mail. Actually, we only have one this week, Pastor Mark. And this listener question we're doing right now, breaking in the middle of our Ezekiel articles, because this question is tied back to that very article that you talked about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And this comes from Richard, who enjoys Signs of the Times up in the Tri-Cities in eastern Tennessee. And his title for the question is A Hook in the Jaw. He says, I was reading this article, and then, of course, he references the Newsweek article we just read, and was wondering if this could maybe in some way lead up to the hook in Russia's jaw related to the 38 and 39 prophecy.
Yeah, great question, Richard, and yes, indeed, it could. No, we're not there yet. Right now, obviously, we're just kind of watching to see what's going to happen. But you've got Iran and Russia linking up, and they've already been buddies. Now they're getting more buddy-buddy. This very well could be something that pulls them into this, that hooks that jaw and directs them. Now, it's interesting. Russia made some comment about how this agreement they made here just this week, they made a new agreement this week. They said it has nothing to do with military agreement. It's other agreements they made this week. But it's my understanding they already have some military agreements and alliances in place. So I do believe whether it's going to be by treaty or military agreement that pulls Russia in, or whether it's simply going to be, Russia feeling that they're compelled now to join this battle for whatever reasons, we know they're going to get pulled in. Could this be it? Yes. But now we watch with patience, because remember, until we see them land invasion amassing on the border there of Israel, it's not going to be Ezekiel 38 and 39. But when we see Russia and Iran and others amassing their troops there on the border, that's when we know we're probably heading into Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yeah. And also, Richard, too, it is in the verse there in Ezekiel about the hook in the jaw. It's actually hooks in the jaw. So
yes,
we're looking for
right.
There's going to be more than one thing that is going to bring Russia, turn them around.
Yeah.
And bring them into
that's
this.
Right. So, that's right.
Anyway, it's going to be very interesting. All right, our next article comes from IsraelHayom.com. This is dated June 15th. Putin's warning to Iran after Trump calls.
Yeah, this is interesting. After he and President Trump talked, he gave a warning to Iran saying, you know what, you guys are probably in trouble here. Putin, being told by Trump he won't impose restraint on Israel, warned Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, stating that his regime is in danger. At Iran's urging, Russian President Vladimir Putin contacted U.S. President Donald Trump. So Iran said, please call him. You know him. He did. To address the intensifying conflict between Israel and Iran, delivering a grave warning to the supreme leader, Khamenei, that his regime's survival is at stake, Israel Hayom has learned. Russia has started taking an active role in the diplomatic efforts surrounding the conflict between Iran and Israel. According to the information obtained by Israel Hayom, Putin initiated a phone call with his American counterpart, President Trump, at Israel's request. Following the conversation, in which Trump likely made it clear that he would not restrain Israel, Putin sent a warning to the supreme leader saying, you know what, you better do something on negotiations, because he ordered evacuation of the Russian embassy from Tehran. So not only do you need to get your act together, I'm getting my people out of there. That's a big warning sign. So,
yeah.
You know, it's amazing, Greg, to see how stubborn Iran is. They're so arrogant and so stubborn that they won't just make an agreement. You know, it's almost like, and I want our listeners to understand this. It's not just their pride, which it is pride, that doesn't want to bow to the power of America. But you got to remember, there's something more going on. There's the pride between nations and their arrogance on a human level. But it's also admitting our God is not big enough to stop this from happening. And that is a hard pill for them to swallow, because they always cry that Allah is the greatest and all this kind of stuff. And suddenly, they're seeing themselves defeated, and Allah is their God. And so it's not a good thing for them in many ways as far as their viewpoint of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, there in Matthew 24, when Jesus said that nation will rise against nation, which we know that that Greek word is their ethnos. So ethnic group will rise against ethnic group.
Right.
But then he says kingdom against kingdom, and that translation refers to the leadership in countries coming after. So that we're seeing that also at play right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, very interesting.
Yep. All right. Our next article comes from Newsmax.com, dated June 15th. Now, it's, on one hand, Vladimir Putin is telling Iran, hey, you should probably negotiate. But then at the same time, a Russian minister is warning the United States on direct military aid to Israel.
Yeah, it's really this kind of, you know, Russia really kind of taking a stand for Iran, but they know they can't stop us. But Russia's deputy foreign minister warned the U.S. on Wednesday about providing direct military aid to Israel in the Jewish state's conflict with Iran, saying such a move would further destabilize the Middle East. President Trump reportedly told senior aides late Tuesday that he approved attack plans for Iran, but it withheld a final order to see if Tehran would abandon its nuclear programs. He really has been very gracious in waiting on them. The U.S. military has built up forces in the Middle East in the past few days, with the USS Ford Carrier Strike Group soon arriving in the eastern Mediterranean, putting a third U.S. aircraft carrier in close proximity to the conflict. On Tuesday, Trump called for an unconditional surrender. I mean, he's not playing. You know, he's like, look, I'm not playing. We're not going to save face. Mm-hmm. They always try to work with them to save face. No, we're not saving face. You're going to be humbled. Unconditional surrender, which made them mad. We will never surrender. Well, they will. Iran mentioned on Truth Social, he said about Iran on Truth Social, about a possible assassination attempt against the supreme leader at Khomeini, but clarified, we're not going to take him out, at least not for now. In January, Russia and Iran reportedly agreed to a 20-year strategic partnership, deepening bilateral ties. Although the agreement does not include a mutual defense clause, they're saying it's not military. Mm. It stated both countries will work together against common military threats.
Mm.
Sounds to me like a few hooks laid out there. Develop their military technical cooperation and take part in the joint exercises. And so, very interesting here to watch this take place. They're definitely, you know, saying, hey, we're warning you that we're going to stand with Iran, but they're not bold enough to take on America. Now, Greg, let me say one before I go on, because I don't want to forget this.
Okay.
You know, we have our stealth bombers, the B-52s and others there at...
Well, the B-2s and the B-52s.
Yeah, they have two different ones. Yep. I'm sorry, you're right. The B-2s and the B-52s.
The B-2s are stealth.
One was a band and one's an airplane.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're both airplanes.
Well, they're heading to the Love Shack.
Yes, anyway, they are. Okay. Anyway, so... But the Air Force base, the base that they're at, what is the name of that base?
Diego Garcia.
Thank you, Diego Garcia. Slipped my mind there from Diego Garcia.
That's where the B-2s are.
Yes, and they're saying, Greg, get this. President Trump recently said something very ominous. He said, we have weapons the world didn't know about. And he said, if we use those weapons, it's going to be very devastating. And now we know he's a big talker.
We know that.
But again, from the reports I've heard from military sources around him, he's not just...
He's just not throwing it out there.
Just bloviation.
Yes. He's not bloviating.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
This is
as Rush used to say.
There's stuff we don't know.
Yeah.
And it's there. They say it's there. They said there's weaponry right now that has never been seen in the world that is there at Diego Garcia. And then if Trump goes into Iran, it may be used. And so he's warning them, saying, you better do something because you're not going to like the result of this. I don't know what this is going to be, but I'm kind of curious as to what these weapons are, or this weapon system, or whatever's going on.
I heard one of them may be called a mop bomb. I saw something on that. Anyway.
Well, I mean, they have the Moab.
Yes,
the mother of all bombs. He used that in Afghanistan.
Yes.
But I wonder what MOP.
I don't know.
You know, most men don't know what MOP stands
for. No, they don't.
Never seen one.
never used one.
And so the moms should know, though.
Yes, they should. All right. Well, we find ourselves in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 thread that China has now entered the chat.
Yes.
This, according to multiple sources, this article in particular, the one that we have is from news.com in Australia, dated June 19th. Mystery Chinese cargo planes, plural, fly into Iran.
Greg, you know, this thing about, before I even read the article, this thing about China has me very intrigued. And from you prophecy people out there, you know where I'm going with this. But China's very, very involved in everything right now. But in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and then even when the Antichrist comes on the world scene, at least in the Bible, you hear nothing about China. It's almost like China is like right on the stage here. China's here like on the main front of everything, and you're hearing about them, and they're so deeply involved in everything. And all of a sudden, when all the real prophetic stuff kicks into gear, they just disappear. Suddenly, they're gone. So they're kind of an enigma to me. I don't really know. And I do believe that China's going to come back around. It might be that China is the 200 million man army that comes in that are demonically influenced. We know that's a demonic army, but there's real people that seems they're living it out through. That would appear to be, it may very possibly be China coming from the east and that many people, you know, coming. But you see them just kind of, they're here, they're on the front page right now. Then they're going to disappear. No trace in Ezekiel 39, no trace that we see in the Great Tribulation, except at the very end, the possible thing. So they're an enigma to me. I'm curious as to what's going to happen to China. Maybe something's going to happen in China that's going to neutralize China. I don't know, but either way, they're very involved now. It says a series of mysterious cargo planes, note that, from China appear to have flown close to Iran's airspace before falling off the radar in recent days, fueling concerns that Beijing may be quietly assisting in the conflict. Well, of course they did. Now, they may have landed in China and then transported it across the border. You know what I mean? We don't know what they've done here, or landed it and then charted it across the border, or whether or not they had some type of radar evading equipment, you know, on there, some cloaking device, you know, type thing, you know, the Klingon type
the Klingon
thing.
Cloak.
That's right. The Klingon cloak.
The Klingon warships.
Yes. And so whatever, we don't know. But either way, they disappeared off the week. And, you know, our B-2s have that technology. The stealth bombers.
Yeah.
They have the, well, you can't, they disappear from radar. You know, you can't, it could be some, I don't know. The bottom line is, did they land and then transport something on the ground? Did they go under some kind of cloak and get in? But why are they there? It goes on. Public flight trackers showed at least three Boeing 747 freighters. Now, these are the big boys.
Yes.
That they gut them out.
Yeah.
To load equipment in.
Yes.
Which are commonly
used.
Not
as big as our military, but still big.
That's right. Which are commonly used for transporting military equipment and weapons, taking off from Chinese cities on Saturday, the day after Israel attacked Iran, Sunday and Monday, the Telegraph reported. In each case, the planes flew westward along northern China, crossed into Kazakhstan. Okay, I'm sorry I left that part out. Into southern Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan. Then they disappeared from the radar near Iran. So, again, landing somewhere near...
So the Stans had a plan.
They did. Somewhere near one of those borders, it would appear, as they left China and headed, you know, into closer to Iran, and either that or went into Iran and weren't tracked. Flight plans indicated the planes were bound for Luxembourg, but none of the aircraft appeared to fly near Europe, so they didn't make it. And I quote, these cargoes cannot but generate a lot of interest because of the expectation that China might do something to help Iran. Andrea Ghiselli, a lecturer at the University of Exeter who specializes in China's relations with the Middle East and North Africa, told the newspaper. So it looks like China's doing something behind the scenes. But again, you know, Greg, you know, some believe that these secret weapons, that some of the world is not as afraid of America as they should be. And some speculation is even, and China's one of them, they're threatening us. And some believe that President Trump may be using, he may use this attack, if he does it, in Iran, with these new weapons.
To make a demonstration.
To freak the world out.
Yeah.
And go, you know what? And you know what it reminds me of? Again, I am not suggesting at all the president is the Antichrist. He can't be. He doesn't fit the mold. But somebody coming after him that may have these type of weapons, maybe he is connected to America, gets the weapons. We don't know. He's going to be out of Europe. But the bottom line is, remember what they say, who can go to war against the beast?
Yeah.
In other words, his weaponry is so powerful, we dare not touch it. This is the first taste of that I've seen in the days where there's this weaponry they're talking about that could freak him out. You talk about freaking out China. I mean, look, if you're trying to make a statement here and China says, we're going to take Taiwan, we're going to attack America, we're going to do this. Boy, once that weaponry's out there, look, if you attack our grid, if you attack us, you may be able to do some damage because we foolishly sold them land in America that they can now attack us from that land, even with drones and everything else. But if you do something to us, boy, are you dead in the water. I got to share this before we go on, Greg, because this is not our notes.
Okay.
The plane, you know, the plane that landed, the doomsday plane that landed. Did you hear about that for President Trump in Washington? Have you heard anything about it?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about it, but I don't know anything about the plane.
Okay, you talk about the car being the beast?
Yes.
This thing's the beast.
Okay.
This plane, unless it's hit by a nuclear weapon, it is built in such a way radiation can't penetrate. A nuclear weapon, as far as the fallout, will not hurt anyone in this plane. There's four of them. In different areas, if the president goes up in that, he can't be affected by it. And get this, each of those planes has nuclear missiles on them. So even if they wiped out all of America in an attack, the president can still wipe all of them out from that plane. And what it does is it puts that nuclear deterrence again. Okay, maybe you surprise us. Maybe you bring nukes on our land. You sneak them in. Maybe they go off all at once. But if anybody's in the air in that thing, we're taking all of you guys out as well, which means even your most evil plan can be thwarted. These planes are, that's the real beast, man. Wow. These things are amazing.
Have you seen a picture?
No, but I want to find out more about them. I just heard about them for the first time. I didn't know these things existed.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Because even President Bush, they didn't exist. And President Bush, they took him up in the presidential plane. He was just flying around.
Yeah,
just for an hour and a half or 2 hours. So they saw what was going to happen with 9/11.
Yes.
No. Since then? Oh, these guys are like, you know what? You can't get to the president by radiation or by the fallout. And from there, he can push the button and wipe out anybody on the planet, it would appear, with the superior technology and firepower on these things. I'm like, this is like the stuff. Man, this is movie stuff.
This is movie stuff.
This is kind of like, you know what? This is like, you know, I'll be back. I'm to take you out. You know, whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, this is Schwarzenegger stuff. This is Stallone with his crooked lip and screaming Adrian stuff. This is like, you know,
This isn't a Hollywood blockbuster. This is a Hollywood blockbuster.
Yes, Hollywood, yes. It's amazing, but I'm anxious to find out more about these planes. I need to look that up here and see.
Well, and maybe we can share with our listeners next week.
Yeah, I need to try to look that up.
That would be good. All right, we've got, as you can imagine, lots of growing anti-Semitism around the world based on what Israel has been doing by taking out Iran's nuclear capabilities. This first one from All Israel News, dated June 13th. World leaders mostly condemn Israel for, quote-unquote, deeply regrettable strikes on Iran.
They mostly condemn them.
Mostly.
Not
just
completely.
Mostly. Not completely.
Mostly condemn them. Deeply regrettable, you know. Anyway,
here, have a bagel.
Yes. Any of those who have seen Princess Bride knows exactly what I'm talking about. They're mostly condemned, but anyway. So most European leaders opted for silence in the immediate aftermath of the strike, possibly awaiting internal EU policy coordination. I want to see what everybody else is going to say. But UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, who is very liberal, not in the EU, but on the strikes, were very concerning. And they serve no one. No, they serve the nation of Israel to protect them from being annihilated from a nuclear weapon. Where have you been? They concern America to be protected from a nuclear weapon. The level of, I can't believe he's not ignorant. It is just a political, ideological statement. That's all that can be. It goes on, the reports of these strikes are concerning, and we urge all parties to step back and reduce tensions urgently. Yeah, all parties except for those who attacked Israel. So let us come in, kill 1,200 of your people, and then don't do anything. Don't respond. Oh, and by the way, we're going to threaten to destroy you with nuclear weapons. We're not going to let the IAEA come in to see whether or not we have nuclear ability to do that. And so, but yet we're going to threaten to kill you and blow you up, but don't do anything. No, we're going to do something. We take you seriously. It says that, again, they need to step back and reduce the tensions. You know, all involved, escalation serves no one in the region. I think escalators are very helpful, actually, but escalation serves no one in the region, adding, stability in the Middle East must be a priority, and we are engaging partners to de-escalate. Now is the time for restraint, calm, and return to diplomacy. Yes, the time to restraint is after we kill all of you, and then, oh, now let's calm down and call for peace. Now is the time to show restraint. French Foreign Minister Jean Noël Barrot, France is closely monitoring developments in the Middle East in close coordination with its partners. We call on all parties to act with restraint to avoid any escalation, he wrote. The security of our citizens and the protection of our interests in the region are on the top of our priorities. He continued, adding that France has repeatedly expressed the deep concerns regarding Iran's nuclear program. The biggest concern is that, well, again, that's ridiculous. Australia's Foreign Minister Penny Wong warned of destabilization in the Middle East. Australia is alarmed by the escalation between Israel and Iran. New Zealand and Japan declared the strikes to be really unwelcome and deeply regrettable. Now, let me just say this. Nobody should want war. War is a horrible thing. But what is the option when you have a nation that says they want to annihilate other nations with nuclear weapons? And they said, we are going to do it. As soon as we can, we will. So what do you do? You say, you know what? Even though they're about to get nuclear weapons and they said they're going to annihilate some nations with nuclear weapons, and even though they win by losing because they go straight to heaven and have their 70 virgins, then we still think it's extreme. We shouldn't go to war. Just de-escalate. This is called insanity. Look, war should only be when war is necessary. But when you have a nation that is trying to get nuclear weapons that can annihilate other nations and millions of people, and they say they're going to do it, you have a responsibility before God and before man to take action to stop them. And for those who say, well, America shouldn't get involved, if Israel can't take care of this, America morally, before God Almighty, should get involved and take out their nuclear capability. I'm not talking about wiping out the Iranian people. I'm not talking about innocent civilians, although there are casualties of war. I'm saying...
Well, most of the Iranian people don't want nuclear capability. They don't like this regime they're living under.
They do not. They're under bondage by this radical regime, and they want to be free, and America's trying to help them do that. That's a part of this whole process. But the point is, understand, when I'm speaking vehemently and passionately about this, sometimes war is necessary. It's never wanted that innocent people die. It's never wanted that anyone die. But when you have someone that will annihilate millions of people if they can, and they're getting close, you have a moral responsibility before God and man to go in and stop it and to take out whatever ability they have to do that. And if there are some people that die at those facilities when you do it, it's a casualty of war. Yes, it's sad. But you cannot just say, well, you can't bomb it because there's workers in there. They're going to wipe out millions of people. You've got to take action. And they're not targeting. Israel's not. And America would never target civilians. Isn't it amazing, the contrast? Israel's targeting all the military and nuclear sites. Iran is targeting civilian neighborhoods.
In hospitals.
Yes. And if you can't notice the difference. Oh, by the way, that brings up another rant and rave. Today's a rant and rave show.
Okay.
I forget if you're rant and I'm rave or if I'm rave. I don't know. Either one.
Sometimes you're both.
Maybe I'm both. I think I'm rant and rave today.
Yes.
Here's what just drives me crazy. They do literally, the Palestinians and others literally, again, Hamas and all, they put their weaponry and their military and their offices under hospitals and kindergartens on purpose, so that if they have to take out those sites, they can see people killed and they think, well, they won't do it because they'll kill people. And then they blame Israel. Israel blew up a hospital. Israel blew up a kindergarten. No, what they're not telling you is that they purposely put their military installations under the hospitals and kindergartens so that it would to try to keep Israel from destroying them. Israel has to go destroy them. They have to. They have no choice. And then Israel went and warned all the people there at the hospital and the kindergarten. They warned them, we're coming in with bombs. Get all your kids out. Get your people out, etc. Here's the difference. Iran didn't warn anybody. And there is no military installation under the hospital. Iran tried to put some propaganda out with these fake pictures generated by AI showing military equipment under that hospital. It's just a total fabrication and a lie. Israel doesn't do that. They don't put their military installations under.
They're not cowards.
No, they don't do that. So, but now here's what they're saying, Greg. Well, oh yeah, it was okay when Israel blew up hospitals and kindergartens. But now when a kindergarten, which just got hit today, when a kindergarten and a hospital gets hit, Israel complains. They're targeting kindergartens and hospitals. Yes, of course they complain, because one is a legitimate target that they're doing on purpose and Israel warns them to protect their people. The other is an illegitimate target that is nothing to do with military installations, and they don't give any warning. There is such a difference in what's going on. One cares about life. That is the nation of Israel. One does not care about life. That is the leadership of Iran, not the Iranian people.
Right.
The Iranian people, there are some solid people there in Iran. There are good people under the earthly definition of good. You know what I mean by that? There are good people, and they want to be free from this regime. Hopefully this will topple the regime, and hopefully they'll get new leadership in that will make the people of Iran free. And there's even people that are saying, we shouldn't be trying to topple the regime. Look, I say, yes, we should, because if you don't get rid of these guys, they're going to come back to try to get nuclear weapons later. And also, they're going to keep their people in Iran under bondage and not able to live for free. I mean, I just, again, the ignorance of those here in America that make these statements, Greg, drives me crazy, as you can tell today. So I'm getting all this out. This feels good. This feels good.
My therapy. Is cathartic. This is your therapy.
Yes, see, people, those of you that aren't watching online, I'm laying on a couch, and Greg is sitting there with glasses on and a pen with a pad talking to me, and this is really helping.
Yeah, asking, how does this make you feel?
Yes, that's right.
All right. All Israel News is our next article coming dated June 14th. Russia and China condemn Israeli violations of Iran's sovereignty at an emergency UNSC meeting.
Yes, they should have the ability to blow everyone on the earth up with their nuclear weapons, and nobody should stop them. They need to have their sovereignty to kill all of mankind. How dare Israel try to stop their sovereignty to kill all of mankind? Again, listen, what this is ridiculous. During an emergency meeting at the UN Security Council late on Friday, China and Russia condemned Israel for striking Iran and calling for an immediate end to Israel's Operation Rising Lion. China condemned what it claimed were Israeli violations of Iran's sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity. They don't care anything about the security and territorial integrity of Israel. This is like, it's so maddening. China opposes the intensification, it said, of contradictions and the expansion of conflicts, and is deeply concerned about the consequences that may be brought about by Israel's actions. China's UN ambassador, Fu Kong, said, according to China, adding that China was concerned about the negative impact and the current developments on diplomatic negotiations on the Iranian nuclear issue. Russia UN ambassador Vasily Nebenzia alleged that Israel, through its actions, was, and I quote, was pushing the region to a large-scale nuclear catastrophe. No, they're trying to prevent a large-scale nuclear catastrophe. Listen to this, and I quote, this completely unprovoked attack, no matter what Israel says, is a gross violation of UN that you ensure. Unprovoked? 1,200 people murdered, raped, destroyed across your border? That's called unprovoked? See, this is the kind of stuff that provokes me.
Yes.
It's so ridiculous. You know, I'm so glad that the Lord is going to deal with all this one day. You know, I love what Israel's Dannon said there at the UN. He said, Israel did not act recklessly. We waited. This was an act of national preservation. We're just trying to save our nation.
Yep.
It was. They said they're going to destroy us. It was one we undertook alone, not because we wanted to, but because we were left with no other option. If they didn't attack Iran, they couldn't survive. They had to attack them. It was the right thing to do. It's still the right thing to do, and hopefully this will end soon.
All right, our next article comes from the Jerusalem Post, dated June 16th. A man claiming to be the Messiah vandalizes a Milwaukee synagogue.
Well, again, you know, again, Jesus did go on the Temple Mount and throw the tables over, but this has nothing to do with that.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, this is Milwaukee, and this is some crazy guy. A violent and destructive individual has been arrested for vandalizing a Milwaukee synagogue on Sunday morning, causing $100,000 worth of damages. The shul's rabbi told the Jerusalem Post on Monday. Rabbi Gil Eliezer Leer of Temple Menorah told the Post that the man had been in their radar for several weeks already, having caused damage a few weeks ago. And I quote, he would always let me tell me that he was the Messiah, but mainly he'd do harmless things. And of course, now he comes in and does this major damage, claiming to be the Messiah. This shows, again, there's going to be more. This is just somebody that's not stable, is the bottom line for this. But again, attacking a synagogue, showing that hatred of the Jews, being led demonically. And by the way, Greg, it brings up another quick point. One of the other things that those that are attacking Israel now, they say the reason the Jews aren't real Jews, they're the synagogue of Satan that God speaks about in Revelation.
Right, yeah.
Nonsense. God is simply saying, look, the Jews were unsaved. They were unsaved. They were being led by the enemy at that time. They rejected their Lord. He's saying, look, stay away from the unsaved Jews. Try to reach out to them, but minister to the saints. That doesn't mean that all the Jews are somehow demons and they're out there to be wiped out. No, the promise of Abraham is still, even to the synagogue of Satan, they can still repent and they can still receive the Lord. And they still are you know, again, so I don't want to get too sidetracked, but it popped up in my brain when this article came up here. So again, just more attacks against Israel and hatred that is demonically led.
Okay, well, this last article in our category, Pastor Mark, should really help you to calm down.
Right,
this is
go.
From the Jerusalem Post, dated June 17th. A mass pro-Iran rally takes over New York's Times Square.
Yeah, that's going to calm me down.
All right. That's going to calm you down.
Iran, not Duran Duran.
Yes.
But it says, Iran makes us proud. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. That was like these chants.
They have these chants, and they're kind of clever in a way.
Yeah, but it's like,
I mean, the one about the drones. Did you see the one, the U.S. drones?
You have to remind me. I don't know if I am.
Let's see. U.S. drones in the sky. Iran's missiles will reply. Courts and talks won't set us free. Resistance brings victory.
Yeah, but look how ridiculous. Has it brought them victory? No, they're getting stomped.
I know.
Anyway, the solidarity with Iran rally was organized by a bunch of people who didn't know what they were doing or knew anything about the situation, according to, no, I'll add that part in there. But it was organized by a socialist pro-Palestinian Bronx anti-war coalition, which called for people to come out in full force to support the brave Iranian and Palestinian people for fighting for all free people worldwide.
Oh, my.
Who is one of the most oppressed peoples in the world? The Iranians. The women can't even go out without their head covered. It is total oppression. I look at this and go, you know, we've said it before. If these people that are saying this and marching this way were in Iran, they'd execute them all.
Yes.
Iran is defending itself, they say, against terrorist aggression from the U.S. and Zionist regimes. According to the videos and statements from the rally, protesters chanted, U.S. drones in the sky. There it is. You already read it. We'll
yep.
reply.
Yeah, yeah.
Many protesters and flags were also held up, including Iranian regime flags, posters saying a genocidal apartheid state has no right to exist. I would agree. I mean, they have to deal with Iran. And pictures of the Ayatollah Khomeini and Raisi and Qassem Soleimani. Now, again, they were, of course, talking about Israel,
yes,
saying that. But again, if there's somebody that wants to be genocidal,
it's the Iranian regime.
They're saying we want to genocidally remove all Jews from the planet.
Yep.
So it's amazing. They're saying the very thing that Iran is trying to do, they're accusing Israel of, and Satan always does that. Again, I always think about, you know, when Elijah ran into, you know, King Ahab, you know, and Ahab's the one that was in all the sin, rebelling against God, and causing all these, the judgments of God on Israel, and he sees Elijah and goes, "There you are, you troubler
of
Israel." What? No, and then I love what Elijah said. No, you're the troubler of Israel. You're the one causing all this judgment. Well, that's exactly what's happening with Iran and Israel.
All right. As if all of that isn't enough, let's get some pestilence, plagues,
news.
Disasters,
more
and corruptions.
Every
Friday is Good News,
yes,
Friday here,
yes,
on Signs of the
Friday.
Times. This is from the Los Angeles Times. This is not about the riots. This is dated June 16th. COVID, quote-unquote, razor blade throat rises as a new sub-variant is spreading in California.
Yes, spreading in California, nicknamed Nimbus, the new variant, has been described in China as having more obvious signs of razor blade throat, basically just really, really sore throat. It may seem like a new term, it says, the description of incredibly painful sore throats associated with COVID-19. And let me just make a quick comment on this. Remember,
yeah,
Matthew 24 says there's going to be more of these kind of, you know, plagues that are going to happen in the last days. And one of the things we now know about the COVID-19 shot is it tears down your immunity system, which means you're more vulnerable to some of these types of things that'll make it even worse. So the sad thing is those that, again, have that shot are going to be more susceptible to the razor blade throat than those that don't. So, again, we've done it to ourselves, and
yep,
it's kind of sad to see. But I think you're going to see more of this. The Bible talks about it in Matthew 24.
COVID is the gift that keeps on taking.
Yes, it does.
All right, let's actually get some good news. This from Blaze Media, dated June 18th. From multiple abortions to redemption in Christ, I was a murderer.
Wow. What a testimony. This Christian content creator, April Chapman, was practicing the prosperity gospel, she said.
Oh, wow.
And because of it, she was able to bury her sins, which consisted of multiple abortions, without fully understanding what she had done. It was only when she discovered the true gospel that she was able to clearly ask God for forgiveness. And I quote, "Post-abortive women do a very good job of suppressing the truth and their unrighteousness, just trying to block it out and filling the emptiness and the guilt and the shame with other things," Chapman tells Blaze TV host Ali Beth Stuckey on Relatable. "I had several years of doing that, bad relationships, you know, just trying to find some sort of way to silence the pain that I was experiencing," she continues. "It caused me to double down with a feminist mindset." So she got even more feminist mindset against it, you know, by
wow,
hiding behind this false gospel. So this is not just unbelievers being led into this. Again, this is false gospels like the prosperity gospel that leads to these kind of things. While Chapman knew being a pro-choice liberal was incompatible with scripture, she had reconciled in her mind that it was okay somehow. I quote, "Once I got saved..." The problem was she wasn't saved. "But once I got saved, the Lord brought those things to my remembrance and allowed me to go through a series or a season that I would say of healing. But you first have to acknowledge that what you did was sinful. You have to say these words, 'I was a murderer,'" Chapman explains. Wow. "This was displeasing to God. That was a life." Then these babies, she's saying she murdered them. They were babies. "So the first thing I had to force myself to do was to humanize those image bearers of God in the womb. No one is beyond," she says, "the point of being redeemable. The scriptures have been such a healing balm for me that, and then God was able to bless the fruit of my womb. I didn't think that I would ever be somebody's mama." She
wow,
continues, noting that her second abortion was so physically traumatic that she didn't believe it could happen for her. "Look at God's grace. The idea that the Lord blessed the fruit of my womb when I thought it could not happen. God was so faithful and merciful and kind to do that," she continues. What a great thing. Again,
I realized
I was in sin against God for these abortions. I repented and God restored me. And again, it is a good news story, but I also want to encourage those women that are listening right now that may have had an abortion. And this comes across not as good news. It comes across as conviction. I want you to know this. If you confess that sin to God and ask his forgiveness, he will forgive you. You don't have to carry this weight. You may have that weight on your shoulders right now. This is the day to let it go. Go to God. Confess your sin. Ask him to forgive you of the abortion, of putting to death the child that God that God gave and ask for God's mercy and forgiveness. God will not only forgive you, he'll restore your heart and restore your mind. And in her case, maybe give you another child. Maybe you even have a child already. But you don't have to carry this weight. Jesus died for all of our sins. We're all guilty before God. We need that blood to forgive us. And you'll have the forgiveness now, the weight taken off your back. And then we have eternity now to rejoice that these sins have been wiped away, never to be remembered again, never to be thought of again, but just to know now you're forgiven in the Lord. And by the way, for those of you that have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ and you're listening to the broadcast, God's Spirit is convicting you right now that you need to repent of your sins. There's your warning. Ask God's forgiveness. Repent of your sins. Go to the cross. Tell him you believe that he died for you on the cross, that his blood washes your sins away. And the Bible says you will be forgiven. So accept that forgiveness of the Lord. Accept his blood today, regardless of it simply asking forgiveness of sin or giving your life to the Lord the first time. Let his blood wash you clean and cry out to the Savior of the world that you might have your place reserved in heaven.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much. Sorry about the buzzer. I have no idea what happened.
Time's up.
There.
Time's up.
Time's up. That's what it is. Wish we had more time, but we'll try to make more time with you next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.